I appreciate so much your attendance for our Bible class this morning. Of course, Brother Ben, as you normally see here, where I'm standing this morning, they're coming back from Pigeon Forge this morning, and like I said a couple times already, we want to hope that they get back and pray that they get back safely. He would normally be teaching this class, but we knew he was going to be absent, and we have asked to take his place, so I'm happy to do this. I've taught this class for several years, a few years ago, and I enjoy the auditorium class. And I hope that this morning that we glean something from the class. When I think about coming to Lord's Day service on Sunday morning, I look at it in two different facets. I want to worship my God to the best of my ability in the worship hour. And then number two, when I sit during the Bible class, I want to pick something up in the Bible class that I can say I need to strengthen myself and move on with. And I hope you can do the same thing. I want you to take just a moment. I just want you to look around. Look around. Look toward people you maybe hadn't seen, you hadn't spoke to. But just look around and see some of your fellow Christians. If you're a member of the Lord's body, why, this is your people. Sometimes we do not think about that enough. We're going to be talking about John the Baptist this morning. But I want to share with you a story that I heard in preparing for the lesson. I tried to find as many things as I could to share with you that could be a benefit. One of my favorite gospel preachers we were listening to, and he was dealing with the same subject. But he started with this story. He said that he had lunch with two friends. Both of them were missionaries. And one of the friends was telling him that he had a friend in South Korea who was a devout Christian living in South Korea. And he said that occasionally he would wander over into North Korea. Spoke North Korean. And one day he was over there on a trip that wouldn't be anything of importance to this story, but he passed by on a road and he saw a man out in a field. This Christian did. Saw a North Korean out in the field. Wasn't sure, he could have been hoeing, gardening, not for sure. But he said he just stopped and looked at him. What do I say? He didn't say anything, but he heard this. The man, the North Korean, was singing. He was singing. Where he leads me, I will follow. And he said, I thought, here this man is singing this song and he's in terror because the penalty in North Korea, as you know, if you profess to be a Christian, possibly can be death. But here this man was hoeing, if that's what he was doing, and he was singing, where he leads me, I will follow. He said, I didn't know what to do. So what did he do? He just started singing also, where he leads me, I will follow. I agree with the speaker that we was listening to giving this lesson. That's touching. Don't we take it so for granted to be able to assemble on the Lord's Day morning as many times as the ages of this class are, and we don't realize what a great, great, great blessing it is. We're not having to refrain out in the countryside and be able to sing Where he leads me, I can follow. As I said a moment ago, we're going to talk about the life of John the Baptist just in a moment. But I hope that the main thing that we can take out of this lesson this morning, and me at my age, it's something that I dwell on often. Make sure when you go to worship service, you worship God. And then when that teacher stands in front, try to get something that you can go home with and you can build off of. We all know, looking around, we're on the other side of halfway probably. We need to be prepared. We need to be prepared. Don't you want to know more about our Master each time that we try to come together or we try to get together to hear another lesson? Here's a question I'd like to throw out to you. It's going to be an easy one to answer. Why did my Savior come to earth? Why did he come to earth? Well, I think you would answer that very well. He came to this earth to redeem us. He came to show us the perfect example while he was here, how you're supposed to live, to give us a pattern, to leave us a pattern with, this is the way you do it. But you know, this is something that I picked up in studying. I think there's another reason that God had him to live the rough days that he did here upon earth. I think that God sent him because he said, just reading it in the Word won't be enough for them people. I've got to send someone and let them see a living example, which he did in Jesus Christ. Why did my Savior come to earth? And to the humble goal, where men his face would not decree because he loved them so. If you will, take your Bible. We're going to turn to several places this morning. We're going to start with John chapter 1. If you'll turn there. John chapter 1. Why have I chose John the Baptist? I hope you have gained as much out of the book that we have given to the congregation here that's got the daily devotions in it. And it's pertaining to different individuals in biblical times. I have, if you haven't got one, why, just make sure you see one of us and we'll make sure that you get one of them. But I have gained a tremendous amount from that book thus far. Matter of fact, I just won't read one page. I'll catch the whole week before I lay it down because I get so interested in what these gospel preachers have written for the Jenkins group down there that I want to hold on to it. And then what I like to do is go to the internet and read more about that individual. John the Baptist. You know, the main things that we hear about John the Baptist is pretty short, is that he was a forerunner to Jesus. And most times we leave it. That's it right there that we know. But I want to share with you this morning a little bit more about John the Baptist so that when his name is mentioned again, you may know a little bit more in detail about this individual. I'm going to do something I don't like to do because I feel like when I read or when someone's reading to me, that's a great opportunity for someone to lose their attention. I like to look at you when I talk. I like to have my lesson, but John the Baptist, I found so many things about him that I want to share with you that I'd like to, if you would, allow me to read this where you may could carry it home with you and remember it when he is talked about again. He was a Judean. John the Baptist was a Judean preacher that lived during the first century in the area of the Jordan River. In the area of the Jordan River. Now let's go back just a moment and let's get on this last word. John the Baptist. That's not a denominational word. Now let's keep this in mind. The Baptist church was established centuries later. So this came in. John the Baptist's name was established many years before the Baptist church was established. John the Baptist, I hope that we have time to talk about why was he named John the Baptist. I hope that we'll get through that just in a moment and you'll be able to understand it. He was born to Zacharias and Elizabeth at an older age when they didn't think they could have children anymore. But they were like the baptism of Christ to John and Mary. This was by divine intervention. John the Baptist's formative years were lived in relative obscurity. You won't find a lot about John from the time of his birth until the time when he comes on the scene as the forerunner of Jesus. His public ministry ended 400 years. This is something I thought was very interesting in. His public ministry ended 400 years of complete prophetic silence. You understand what I'm saying there? There was nothing said from the prophets for 400 years. Have you ever took your Bible and when you finished the last part of Malachi and you go to the book of Matthew, have you ever run through your mind, 400 years right here? Very similar. But when he came back and prophesied, this was the first prophecy that had been revealed in 400 years. John wasn't the voice crying in the wilderness. He was that voice that cried in the wilderness as prophesied. He formed the link between the Old and the New Testament. He had his feet in both the Old and the New Testament. He was the hinge that was in between those. John's lifestyle was as serene and austere as his message was. He was an ascetic living in the wilderness. Now, what does that word ascetic mean? He practiced self-denial and he abstained from any worldly comforts. Now, picture this individual. He was austere. He was clothed in camel hair and he lived on locusts and wild honey. He was a crowd pleaser. He was no crowd pleaser. Missed a word there. He was no crowd pleaser. He wasn't an individual during his ministry and during his preaching that you look forward to seeing. But he was a very popular man. Very popular man. And why was he popular? He was popular because of all the oppression that was taking place under the Roman rule at that time. Very, very popular. He was preaching of the Jesus, the Messiah, to come. And they were looking forward to that relief. He was very popular. Very popular. He willingly confronted the hypocrisy of the religious leaders. Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 states that the prophet Isaiah will return, and he was depicted as fulfilling that prophecy. Here's something that I think we might could go back to and remember a moment ago when I said, why did he get the name Baptist? John possibly could have been a member of a sect called the Essenes, E-S-S-E-N-E-S, the Essenes. There was a Pharisees, there was a Sadducees, there was a Zealots, and there was the Essenes. This was a very interesting group of people. What were some of their characteristics? Well, they lived in caves. They were in the region between Jerusalem and the Dead Sea. They followed the law of Moses, and they practiced ritual baptism. I can't tell you what they were baptizing for. That could have been the place where John got hung with the name Baptist. They were a very strict group. Matter of fact, they were such a strict group that I found out that no women was a member of this group that we've just talked about. No women. Strictly men. And when I find out more about John the Baptist is the fact that there still is a group today called the Mandeans They hold John to be the true Messiah. They worship John to be their leader and the Holy One. They hold Jesus as a false prophet. That's the Mandeans, if you'd like to look them up. Let's look here, John chapter 1. Let's read a little bit before the bell rings. Let's look at chapter 1, verse 6. Where it's to John, let's put the picture together. This is written by the Apostle John, who also wrote the book of Revelation, responsible for the book of Revelation, and the three books of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. John the Apostle, he says, verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was a true light which gives light to every man coming into this world. Now go with me down to verse 15. John bore witness of him who cried out, saying, there was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace, talking of Christ. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Now we're getting into a very interesting verse that I feel this about and learning more about John. Now this is the testimony of John, whom the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? John was so popular in his preaching, that this group of people wanted to find out, who are you? He was definitely getting some attention. Verse 20, he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, no. Then they said to him, who are you? Definitely very curious as to who John is. Who are you that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself? Very interesting what John says here back. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord. The prophet Isaiah prophesied this 450 years before John was born. Isn't that astounding? A prophecy that took place 450 years before what we're reading today by the man when he was born. Malachi's prophecy that he has in the Old Testament was written 600 years before John was born. Verse 24. Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees. And they asked him, saying, why then do you baptize if you're not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you who you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. I've heard this many times like you have about the sandals. It was a custom in those days for the slave to undo the sandal strap on their master and would carry the sandal. So this could have a reference to those customs that took place then. Verse 28, these things were done in Bethabara beyond the Jordan where John was baptizing. The next day, we're in a period here where the scriptures record the happenings of four straight days. So we're looking at the second day here after John's baptism of the Messiah, which is recorded more so in the books of Matthew, Luke, and Mark. John doesn't have the actual baptism recorded here for us this morning to read. But we're talking about these things were done in Bethabara beyond the Jordan where John was baptizing. And the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Brothers and sisters, I'd like to suggest to you that is the most important statement that's ever been made that pertains to eternity. Behold, the Lamb of God. We all know that lambs were the sacrifice item that took place in the Old Testament, the temple worship. But when you look at this and you see what John says here, and he calls the Messiah the Lamb of God, that carries us through our entire life of knowledge as a Christian, up until the time that we breathe no more. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Verse 30, "This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me." Christ was in eternity with God before John. "I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel before I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him." Now this is very important, I think, this next verse. "I did not know him, but he, being God, who sent me to baptize with water, said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit." Who told John? Who told? God did. God told him. "And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God," Jesus Christ himself. And again the next day, I think this is another interesting development that takes place. It makes you just wonder with it. "And again the next day, John stood with two of his disciples. And looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, once again, behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus." Now, how would you like to have been these two disciples at that point where you could have followed him? Jesus didn't tell them to back away. Look what he says. "Then Jesus turned and seeing them following said to them, what do you see? They said to him, Rabbi," which is to say translated teacher, "where are you staying?" They had enough courage, these two disciples, to ask him questions, enough confidence to know now who they're talking to. And they asked this question. He said to them, "Come and see." Would you not have liked to have been in that circumstance to where you could have heard Jesus say, "Come and see. Come and see." They said and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And all speculation is that the other man was the Apostle John himself. So we've got an opportunity here to read where Jesus invited Andrew and the Apostle John, who has written this book for us, responsible for this book, that have gone to get to be with Jesus for a day. What do you reckon those conversations were like? Just amazes me. That's one of the things I like about listening to this speaker that I've told you that I've heard and listened to get parts of this lesson. He asks questions like that. Makes you wonder. What would it have been like for those two to have spent a day with Jesus, with the Messiah? It's very interesting. Very interesting to me. Turn with me now, if you will, to Luke chapter 3. Let's look at verses 2 through 5. Let's go back to the beginning a little bit with Luke chapter 3, verses 2 through 5. While Annas and Caiaphas were the high priests, the word of God came to John the son of Zacharias in the wilderness. This is the direction that he receives. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. And as is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth. The prophecy in verse 6, and all flesh shall see the salvation of the Lord. Now, come down with me to verse 12 as we continue to read the happenings. Then tax collectors also came to be baptized. This is verifies the fact of how popular John was during those times. Then tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, Teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than what is appointed for you. Likewise, the soldiers asked him, saying, and what shall we do? So he said to them, do not intimidate anyone or falsely accuse, and be content with your wages. Verse 15, now as the people were expectation and all reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not, John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Now let me ask this question here. You see there in verse 15 where it says, now as the people were expectation and all reason. This word all tells me in reading from commentaries and from people such as Josephus, who was an eyewitness in the first century. There was a huge amount of people at the baptism of Jesus. And when Jesus came from Galilee to be baptized by John the Baptist, from what we gather, he just got in the end of the line. And once he got up to the place, there was gobs of people that had been baptized. And they witnessed the seeing of the dove ascending on him to verify that he was, when God spoke, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. There was many people at that occasion of the baptism. It wasn't just two of them. Another thing that was very interesting to me, this may have happened during the month of March. Month of March. Can you imagine and know how cold the water is still in the month of March? If that country has the climates like we do here, our water in the month of March is still cold in streams like that. So, it marvels me to know that this was taking place during that time, and those people, John the Baptist was in the water performing the baptism. It's one thing that we want to remember here. When we go into verse 21, something that I had not noticed before. Verse 21, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized, and while he prayed, the heavens were opened. Have you noticed that in past when you've been in classes that have studied John the Baptist, that Jesus prayed? What do you reckon he prayed about? There's no way he could have prayed that, forgive me of my sins. He didn't have any, spotless. He was sinless. Wouldn't you think that he might have been asking God to help him in his earthly ministry, thanking him for the occasion, the load that he has put on his shoulders that he's to bear? But Jesus prayed. We don't have any idea how long that was, how short it was. But Luke here gives us the information that he prayed. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved son, and you. Now Jesus himself began his ministry at about the earthly age of 30 years of age. After Jesus' baptism by John the Baptist, John from what we gather, preached and baptized about another 6 months. Then he was put into prison. He stayed in prison for 1 year, and then he was executed. We know the story of his head being requested by the daughter of his then wife. Herod did not want to do that because he had respect for John, but he promised her anything that she asked, he would fulfill that request, and that's what she asked for, was his head. The scholars say that they threw his body over the wall, John the Baptist's body over the wall, and there's many conjectures about where his head is now at, even presently. It's a very interesting story to read. But can't you just imagine, here's where my thoughts went, and we'll end our class. When we all get to heaven, and we see John the Baptist, got his head on. Can you just imagine? After what we've read, that's what's happened to him. And we get to see John. We get to talk to John. That's going to be a very interesting day for us all. When we get to meet with these people, such as John the Baptist, Moses, just get to hear their stories. It'll be a wonderful time for all of us. I hope you may have picked up a little bit more in my feeble way today on the person of John the Baptist and the significance that he's played for all of us in our salvation. It's very, very interesting to find out things such as this on individuals that we only hear a certain portion about. And I have to attribute that a lot to the book that we've given out. All the individuals that's mentioned in there are so interesting to dig in and find out more of what their contributing factor was to the work of the church and to the gospel at that time. Thank you very, very much for your attendance.